Hi, welcome back to Who's Talking. This is Jim Hobgood with Frank Maloney. We're going to be joined momentarily by sports attorney Vern Inge. But before I let Frank introduce Vern, we just wanted to remind our listeners that next Tuesday, February 23rd, our show will be on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and following the show at 7 o'clock at the Short Pump Fridays, we are going to have a game-watching party, gathering, whatever you want to call it, as the Who's play Miami down in Coral Gables. So we want all of our friends, listeners, and fans to try to join us out at Short Pump Fridays next Tuesday night, February 23rd at 7 o'clock.
And we are going to have some nice door prizes and a few raffle drawings for some very nice items, including some tickets for the next couple upcoming games, as well as a couple of nice items that the VAF has given us, some autographed items. You've got to come out to see them. I promise you, if you're a Wahoo, you would want some of these items.
And it's also, coincidentally, it's also Mardi Gras night at the Short Pump Friday, so I think there's going to be a lot of festivity going on. It should be a fun occasion in their bar area, which is kind of a separate area of the restaurant. They have multiple TV locations, so it really should be a fun time. Frank and I, as I say, we're doing the show 6 to 7. We will get there as quickly after the show is over as we can, but we want our fans to arrive at 7 o'clock, or before, for that matter, whenever you can get there and enjoy the atmosphere, the food and drink out at Friday's Short Pump, obviously one of our key sponsors.
Should be a lot of fun. All right. I know that we're working to get Vern on the phone here. Let me give you a little bit of background on Mr. Vernon Inge. He is a graduate of Patrick Henry High School out in Ashland, so he's a local. He went undergrad to University of Richmond and then attended UVA Law School and got his degree there in 1991. His wife is a comm school graduate from UVA, so that's a double Who family. He basically grew up in college football. That's sort of the background. His stepfather, Ted Keller, who is recently deceased, is in the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame, is quite the legend from his days at Randolph-Macon College. In fact, he won his stepfather won the small college national championship in 1969, and I suspect that's where Vern got his taste and interest in sports. He's been practicing law at LeClaire Ryan for 15 years. He currently teaches a sports law class out there at University of Richmond for the last few years, and he works with some local sports agents like our good friend Joe Sroba, who's been on the show previously, and also Dave Marigee, who's quite the golf aficionado.
So, yeah, speaking of the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame, how long can it be until they call Hobbo? You know, basketball analyst. I think this show may put me over the top. Get in the broadcaster wing.
Maybe both of us. Certainly my pickup basketball days. I think I've worn out enough basketball shoe leather to earn that right as well.
Now, did you play in the Chuck Taylors too?
I tell you what, I started in Chuck Taylors, but by the time I was finishing, the shoes were starting to cost $120.
Yeah, well, get a little pricey. It's good for Nike though, or Converse, or Adidas, or whoever they made the shoes.
I wore them all. Anyway, I think do we have Vern on?
I'm
Vern
here, and Frank, you better stick to broadcasting to get your way in from what I hear about the basketball.
Listen, I had a deadly outside shot. I don't care what anybody says.
Frank, to Frank Maloney, pass was definitely a four-letter word.
It's true. I never met a shot I didn't like, that's for sure. Our good friend Tom Baker, who listens in, he and I had some huge battles out on the hardwood and the concrete and the cement, whatever. Anyway, we want to get into a little topic with you here. You work with sports agents night and day. Talk to us a little bit about, when the UVA football players, their season ends, some of them got to go to some of those senior bowls and a chance to show off their talents. Guys like Nate Collins and Chris Cook and Vic Hall and some folks like that, Will Barker. What happens now? Vern, what are they going through now as they get ready for hopefully being drafted by one of the NFL teams?
Well, a lot of things are happening, and obviously UVA's put a great number of players in the NFL over the last few years and longer. But what they're doing right now, in most cases, is going through physical training that prepares them, and it's something that the agents will have to will often help them set up and sometimes pay for them. But because now that they're no longer college athletes, they're eligible to one, have an agent and to have some things paid for. So obviously they can't afford it in most cases because they're not allowed to work under NCAA regulations until now. But what they're doing is they're in special programs getting ready for combines, either the official NFL or there's some other ones that they may end up going to. And of course, UVA has its own workout, but the they have special trainers who are specialized in getting guys ready for the combines and helping them with the drills that they're going to be going through and even some of the testing to you know, help them be as prepared as they can be to show off their skills.
Vern, just real quick, I know in basketball a guy can explore the draft, and as long as he doesn't hire an agent, he can pull his name before the draft actually occurs. Does football work the same way, or how does that apply to football?
Well, it in essence does work the same way. In the problem is that you can't hire an agent, of course, if you are still going to keep your eligibility. It's one of these NCAA rules, and the minute you hire an agent, you are no longer eligible to play college football or basketball, for that matter. But what you can hire is an advisor who can give you some advice on, you know, on whether where you would go, and some folks who have looked at going out after their third year, for example, may do that. They hire a contract advisor, it's called, maybe the same person who would be their agent, but not officially an agent, who can give them some advice on, you know, where they would go in the draft and whether they ought to stay in or go out. So that, you know, it is an option for football players. Obviously, because of combines and other preparation that's in the formalized system there, they can't go but so far down the road. Once you get to where you're going to need some financial assistance for somebody, then you're probably going to have to make a decision whether you stay in or come out.
That brings up a couple of issues. I noticed that on the NFL.com official site, UVA's NFL testing day is March 18th. And as I discovered, that's only one of 21 NFL official pro days, which take place all over the country and even offshore and in Hawaii. These type events, sometimes they're open, sometimes they're closed to the media and so forth, but typically these are NFL and CFL pro scouts and, you know, the player families and maybe a coach or two is watching on behalf of the school just to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. But, Vern, tell us a little bit about at what point, you know, does the player make that choice of maybe signing with an agent? And then also talk to us a little bit about this rule that prohibits, you know, offering anything of value versus the fact that these kids need loans to get them through, so to speak.
Well, you know, certainly they need to have sort of made up their mind at this point or very soon whether they're going to go out into the draft or stick around and play college football for one more year. The decision as to when to hire an agent, you know, for almost all the players really comes up after their senior year when they're done with their eligibility, either after a bowl game or if they're not going to a bowl, of course, a little bit sooner. But, a player in their third year or even earlier in some cases might have some other issues, but as you know, those are pretty rare. The player coming out after his fourth year at UVA would, once eligibility is done, he's now eligible to sign with an agent. And it's really interesting what happens. The NFL Players Association regulates agents. And if the agents violate the NFLPA rules, they can be decertified so that they can't represent players anymore, fined, and all sorts of other things. Those regulations require that, or prohibit, I should say, any agent offering anything of value to a player to induce the player to sign. In other words, there were some big problems back 10 years or so ago with agents going out and offering a player a car or big cash bonuses to sign with the agent. And obviously the Players Association was concerned that players might not be getting the best representation that way. They were just getting the guy who could offer them the most money. And so they put this rule in place. The problem is that now it's become very common for an agent to offer a loan to a player Whether or not that loan's forgiven, we don't know. But to offer a loan, sometimes in very large dollars, we're talking six and in some cases seven-figure loans to a player who's still in college.
Wow.
And they say very directly, you'll get this loan if you sign with me as a player. Clearly, that to me is a violation of the player regulation, or the NFLPA regulations. But the NFLPA knows about it, and I've discussed it with them. They so far haven't done anything to stop it, and it's become very rampant in the industry. So what happens is, if you have a player, and the nice thing from an agent standpoint about football is you have a pretty good idea after the player's senior season whether they're going to be an NFL caliber player or not. And in baseball and other sports, you really have no idea or very little. But in football, you know that. So the agents will go out, and the first thing that happens is they send runners out, what they call runners. That's not usually the agent themselves, but younger guys who get to know the players on behalf of the agents. Everything's known up front that they work for the agent usually, but they'll play video games with them, get to know them in the dorms, get to know them around campus, that sort of thing. And while most coaches, college coaches, prefer that the players not talk to agents during the season for obvious reasons, these runners are out there and basically befriend the players. And it's very common in the industry. And then usually by the time the season's over, the player's already sort of made up his mind who his buddies are and who he wants to go with. And at that time, you'll start seeing some people show up, and they'll be offering these loans to the players to induce the players to sign with the agent. So there's tremendous pressure on these, you know, not even college graduates yet, to figure out between the offers that they're getting and who's trying to befriend them and all that, who the best agent would be for them. And frankly, it's very difficult for them to make that right decision.
Doesn't that put the, quote, law-abiding agents in a tough bind, because they're not supposed to be talking to the players during the season, and the unscrupulous agent that has numerous runners who are basically flirting with all the rules and skirting all those rules, you know, is making those secretive offers.
It does put the agents that want to follow the rules, or at least stay in the coach's good graces, in a bad spot, because the coaches, if the coach does have the rule, and most of them would prefer that their players stay away from agents during the season, then the good agents, at least in the eyes of the coaches, would want to to follow that rule and leave the players alone, talk with them after the season. The good news for the as you call them, the scrupulous agents, I wouldn't say it's in most cases, if the school doesn't have an actual rule against it, they're really not violating anything. It's just sort of a coach preference in most cases. But if the agent who wants to do things the right way and stay in the coach's good graces, the good news for him is, hopefully, in a lot of cases, these players are going to the coach for some assistance at the end of the year. And while from experience, it seems to me that most players have already made up their mind by then, there are some players who go to the coach and ask for advice, and you know, typically the coach is going to recommend those folks who have stayed in his good graces and have followed the rules. So the agent sort of has a decision to make on the, are they going to stay in the coach's good graces and hope that they're able to get some assistance from the coach, if you will, while the coaches, I don't think, really assist. They will give a sort of an approved list of agents, or do they want to go out and get that early start? And it's all just sort of a business decision for the agents. Which,
yeah, Vern, just to jump in here, but it seems like what you're describing from the university standpoint would be a compliance nightmare. I mean, how do you weren't there some allegations back Southern California had some issues and some of this stuff, and how does the university police this?
Well, the schools constantly have problems with this, and that's really the problem. The schools did for a while put a rule in effect. Almost all schools had it, that players could not talk to agents. Agents could not talk to players during the season. The problem was, it was impossible to enforce it from the agent perspective. They have no control over the agents, really. And so they've tried now to do it from the player perspective, asking the players not to talk to agents. But as you say, it's an impossible task to police.
And then where does the NCAA come in on this? I mean, you know, I guess schools, you know, the NCAA, what you probably end up with is selective enforcement of the rules, which is never fair.
Absolutely. The NCAA's rule, of course, prohibits any value going to these athletes from the agents. And if I, you know, in the school's perspective and the player's perspective, I have great concern that when these runners are out there, do they buy a Coke or a lunch or a dinner for the player, or give him a video game
Sports watch or a fancy leather jacket? Or
I guess when that kid drives up to practice in a Ferrari, you know something's going on.
Well, that's right, and we've all seen examples of that.
Or family members of the athlete living in fancier homes and driving nicer cars, as was rumored with the whole Reggie Bush thing.
Absolutely. That those are always concerned, and it is a compliance nightmare for the NCAA and the universities.
Vern, last question. You've had some time to think about this, I guess. And you've done this now for about 15 years. What's sort of the maybe the most hilarious or crazy situation you've heard of with not necessarily the names here, but just the situation of an agent trying to deal with a particular athlete who'd done something crazy?
Well, probably the craziest one involves an athlete, a football player, who, just to fall back under the rule we just talked about, an agent showed up. This was a football player at a smaller college, but a great player everybody knew was an NFL prospect. And he had an agent show up from across the country who literally sent him a FedEx package with a check in it and said, "If you can accept this check if you sign as my and make me your agent." And so he did. It was Christmas time. His school wasn't small school wasn't going to a bowl game, and so he had a child in his senior year of college. So he thought an opportunity to buy Christmas presents for the child. So he signed with that agent, and then next thing you know, he realized that wasn't the agent for him, and tried to change agents. And the NFLPA and the agent were able to enforce that contract. So I'm not sure that falls under hilarious. I've heard of other stories of agents signing players by taking them out and getting them a few drinks and asking for their autograph and never identifying their agents, things like that. There are lots of crazy stories, but that's the one that I found sort of the most shocking to me, was that clearly things of value are being offered to athletes to get them to sign.
Well, Vern, we've enjoyed having you on Who's Talking, and maybe down the line if we have a situation that arises that needs to be broken down and explained to the audience, we will definitely bring you back. But it's been a pleasure having you with us. Jim, any comments?
No, just it really is informative, and we do thank you for your time. Look forward to having you on again.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon, guys.
Take care. We're headed for our next break and look forward to bringing everybody back up to speed on all the other Wahoo sports news on the other side.